some work, missions work there. They will be doing some construction, community outreach, and a vacation Bible school. So it'll be a very busy week. And they took a whole bunch of shoes with them. And so I want to say thank you to the church for providing all of those shoes. That'll be a great thing. Also this morning, Elise Van Sparentech was in a plane, and she flew from Germany to Africa. And so she should be in Africa real soon. So really good stuff that we have a lot of great things going on. And also the Allen family left Saturday morning, and they should be getting in probably late today or tomorrow into Uganda. And they are taking the money that we raised for the Straightway Education Project. And what we were able to do as a church is we took care of 120 young ladies to help them for a complete year. And so that's great. And then you'll hear, yes, it's good stuff. And then you'll hear more about what Vacation Bible School was able to do in 1 week. And so that's exciting as well. I do want to say a special thank you to everybody who worked in Vacation Bible School. Michelle Roberts did a lot of cooking. Brooke was the cruise ship coordinator, and she kept all the chaos organized. She herded all the cats, so good job. And she'll give you some more information about what happened last week at Vacation Bible School, but also we had a lot of people that worked during Vacation Bible School. I think Brooke said there were 70 helpers, and so if you helped with Vacation Bible School, thank you so much for your help. Next Sunday, there is a baby shower for the Powells, so remember that. On July 28th, Saturday, July 28th, we're doing a special car wash. This car wash, it's a $1 car wash. We are, we'll wash the car for people, and then when they come through and they think they're going to pay a dollar, we give them a dollar, and we give them a tract that explains that our Lord cleanses us from our sin, and when it came time for somebody to pay the price, he paid for it. And so we want to give that example and show that. So right now, there are 3 people signed up, okay? That will be a lot of work for those 3 people. So if you could sign up so we know how many people will be there to help us with the car wash, and that's July 28th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also, we have an outdoor baptism on August 12th. And if you're planning on attending, not just being baptized, if you're just planning on attending, please sign up at the Welcome Center. We need to know how much food to grill up, okay? We want to make sure we're not short on the food. So make sure that you sign up at the Welcome Center if you're attending that. And then, obviously, if you would like to be baptized and you haven't been, talk to me. We'll get that arranged so you can be baptized that afternoon as well. In August, just keep your ears open. You'll see in the Welcome Center, we've got some change jars out there. It is we're taking a month to concentrate on world missions. And with world missions, what they do is they take audio Bibles and they put them in many different languages. They take it to areas these people will never learn how to read. So even if you were to translate a Bible into their language, they never will learn how to read. But they will listen to God's word. And so they call them treasures when the audio Bible is put together into the language. And one treasure will impact directly about 44 people. And it's a great, great ministry. So we have those change jars. If you fill up one of those boxes at the Welcome Center, one box equals one treasure. And let's see, last time we did it, I can't remember, we did over 100 and some treasures that we were able to send out on the mission field. And I'd like to see us do another big batch. We will collect them on August 26th. That will be our collection date for those. And then on August 19th, we have a potluck. The theme is Ray Berry Fest. Ray Berry, he wears a Hawaiian shirt all the time. That's all he ever wears. And so you know what? It's a Hawaiian theme. So you can wear a Hawaiian shirt, or well, our food will be Hawaiian, and sign up. We'll have a sign-up sheet. It's not out there yet, but in the coming weeks where you can sign up for that. A lot more announcements in the bulletin. The Souls for Souls, actually, that was sent out. We're done collecting those.
and we're excited to see what God does with those. So make sure you read your bulletin for everything else that's going on. We're going to have a word of prayer, and after the word of prayer, I'm going to hand it over to Brooke. And Brooke is going to get all the kiddos up here and tell us about some awesome things that the Lord did last week. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for your great strength. And Lord, when we're weak, you're strong. And I know there were many times in the last week that we had some tired volunteers just from a full day of work. And then they came and they helped out with Vacation Bible School. And Lord, to see what you did, you are the Almighty. You are the one and only God who is able to save. And so, Lord, I thank you for all that you did last week, and both giving energy to the workers and giving a spirit of understanding to the children. And I thank you, Lord, for the message that went out, that that Jesus Christ, you rescue. And there's no greater message that these kids needed to hear. And so I thank you, Lord, for all that you did. And I look forward, Lord, to what you will continue to do. I thank you for Elise as she's going to Africa. Thank you for our youth group as they're headed to Kentucky. Lord, there's just so many great things that are going on because you are a great God and you're worthy to be served. And I thank you, Lord, that you've enabled us as a church to equip and to help send out those onto the field. And so, Lord, we just ask that as we celebrate so many good things this morning, that also we'll take a couple minutes just to hear from you. And I thank you that we can be a game-changing church, just like the church in Thessalonica. And as we start a journey through the book of Thessalonians, that our hearts would just be full hearing about what you did with them and the correlations about what you can do with us. So, Lord, to you be all the praise and glory. You are the Holy One. You are the Mighty One. You are the one we love and adore. To you be all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time I'm going to call Brooke up, and she's going to organize the troops here.
All right, good morning. I'm glad to see everybody's here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. When this weekend rolled around, I felt when I planned my wedding. VBS was like planning a wedding to me. Maybe I've said this before. There's all this, like, you know, you're worried about everything, you want everything to go just so, and you think, oh man, if I forget something or whatever, and then it happens and it's awesome and magical and super extraordinary and fun, and then it's over and then you're like, oh, now what? What's next? Mr. Greg likes to joke that I wake up, you know, Friday morning or Saturday morning and I just start planning for next year. That is absolutely not what happens. That maybe if somebody can talk me into it in January, that's about the time I get re-energized for it. But I don't know. Maybe some of you do or don't look on the Facebook page or whatever. But on Thursday night, I felt like I left Vacation Bible School and I had that super elevated feeling of like, wow, look what just happened. Just a couple statistics for you. We had over 70 volunteers from our church, and we even had volunteers from another church that came to help us out. We had 115 kids show up Wednesday night and Thursday night. We had 114 on Tuesday, and we had 106 on Monday night, which is the most we've ever had on night one, ever. So praise God for that. 25 children were saved. 25 kids prayed Jesus into their hearts. It was amazing. Pastor Thad had to go out and buy more Bibles because we ran out. We didn't even have enough Bibles to give out, so that was amazing. There's just so much that could be said about this ministry, but I guess my question to the church is after this is done and over with, what other ministry is there that we can get plugged into? Because it was exhausting, it was tiring, but it was so rewarding, and I know that I'm not the only person who felt the blessing come from everything that happened this week. So it just left me feeling like, what other ministry can I go get plugged into? Our children's ministry on Sundays, we would love to have any one of you come back and help us out. For those of you who came, these kids are awesome. They have energy. They're fun. The things that they come up with are, you know, we forget what it's like to be young sometimes and have that childlike faith. But Michelle and I and Amanda and Brandy, any one of us, we would love to have you. Even if you just want to come back and help out, I just feel like the energy coming off of this week is a perfect time to give that plug. Come back and help us in children's ministry. And then I just want to say a few very special thank yous. First of all, thank you to everybody who came out this week and showed up and helped count pennies and helped clean up the gym afterwards and helped run games and did crafts and just anywhere I needed, God just kept saying, here you go, here's somebody who showed up tonight. Or maybe I had people who weren't signed up at all who just showed up and I'm like, oh yeah, I can stick you right here. Can you please go there? And they did. That was awesome and amazing. But specifically, I just want to say to the Layton family, they should take that drama show on the road. They did the Bible story, and I'm convinced that these kids experience the Bible in such a real way that it just, their hearts opened and their minds open. And these kids, I mean, night one, I think we had like a group of like 10 girls come out of your Bible lesson and ask Jesus into their hearts. So thank you for giving up your time and practicing and all that and all that you bring to that Bible lesson. It was amazing. Thank you so much for doing that. For Greg and the DJ equipment that he brings and the life that he brings to the beginning and the ending, thank you for doing that. I know you work as well during the day, and then you come at nighttime and you just bring that energy. So thank you, and for making it like a fun party in there. Well, we couldn't do this without you, so thank you for doing that, Mr. Greg. I'm almost done, I promise. Many of the youth group are gone, but the youth group also showed up. I mean, they could have been busy packing and doing all that, but they came, they ran games for us. They got the energy going out there. They got lots of kids wet. I'm sure that was lots of fun. So thank you to the youth group for coming every single night, too, and getting involved in this. I know that the little kids look up to you, and I think that's cool. I wanted to also say to Brandy Roberts and Amanda Headley and Amanda Dieters, and then Julie Taylor is our special friend. Where's Julie at? Where's Julie? Oh, there she is, back there. Julie came over from the bridge to help us with all of our decorations as well. So that was cool. And Michelle Roberts. These ladies came before VBS even started. I mean, there were nights where we were here until 3 in the morning. You could ask Pastor Cheryl. I was setting off the alarm at all hours of the night because I was probably like half asleep. But thank you to those ladies. They helped come up with the vision to transform that church, transform it into a jungle, into a beach, into a shipwreck, into an ocean, all of the above. So a special thank you to them. And then also to Michelle, right there, sidekick for life. That woman does not sleep during VBS week because she is cooking, grilling, boiling. I don't know what else she's doing. Things I don't even understand as far as cooking goes. To feed the people, it is like loaves and fishes all week. I'm telling you, God just keeps like saying, oh, Michelle, you better stop at Walmart and get 16 more watermelons. So Michelle goes out at 5 in the morning and gets 16 more watermelons. Thank you for doing that. You deserve a vacation in Tahiti as far as I'm concerned. And then just real quick, last, before we have the kids come up and do their song in the video, Miss Carolyn. Where's Miss Carolyn at? She's at the hospital. Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry. Okay. So this is what we were going to present to Miss Carolyn, is a check for $912.78, because you guys pulled out quarters and dimes and $20 bills. There may have even been 100 in there, I don't know. But these guys raised $912.78 to go to the Straightway Project for Miss Carolyn. And that is amazing. So while it's still summer break for us, and I know that you guys are not eager to go back to school at all, like I know I say school and it's like, ooh, what is that? You guys over, I think they said 20 children, 20 girls are going to get to go to school for one full year, have 28 kids. They say 28. Thanks, Lincoln. 28 girls will get to go to school for a full year and have meals provided, and they don't have to worry about anything. All they get to do is go to school, and you know what? They are excited about that. So thank you guys for pestering your parents all week and raising money. Yeah, that's something to clap about, Bella. Okay, why don't you kids come up on stage now, and we're going to sing one of our favorite VBS songs for you, and then we're going to watch a slideshow, and then we're going to go finish VBS in the back. So thank you again for all of your prayers. Thank you for allowing our church to do this. Thank you for allowing this ministry.
wrestling in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
There's no space that his love
I'll invite the praise team to come up here as the children head out for the concluding lessons of Vacation Bible School. Following the morning service, Brooke could use some hands to help get all the decorations torn down. And so if you are able to stay, it won't take real long if we have a lot of people stay. So if you could stay and help with that, that would be wonderful. Also, if you are on the outreach committee that is going over to meet with Galilee Baptist today for the combined outreach, we will help tear down for a few minutes, and then we will meet at about 1 o'clock is when that committee will meet, and then at 2 o'clock we head over to Galilee Baptist Church to meet with them. So let's stand together, and let's sing some praises to our Lord.
All of me for every Thursday. satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
Well, I'm glad that the cross has the final word and not my sin, right? I'm glad that the cross has the final word and not my righteousness, because either way, we'd be in big, big trouble. But I'm glad that the cross, it settles it for us. Well, let's turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. As we've been talking about game changers and thinking about this idea of the fact that he has made us kings and priests unto God, a church that just kept sticking out to me was the church at Thessalonica. And this church at Thessalonica was it was a unique church. And there's so much that's said to them that it's actually fun to study, right? Sometimes, all right, honestly, how many of you, sometimes you read your Bible and it's like, oh my goodness. That wasn't very fun. Anybody feel that way? Lynn Anderson's so honest. She's got her hand up. You know, sometimes some of the stuff in the Bible, it's hard, not fun, right? Okay, in 1 Thessalonians and in 2 Thessalonians, there is some really fun stuff to study. Anybody here like eschatology, future events, end time events? Yeah, shame on all of you. Yeah, no, it's great. Because 1 and 2 Thessalonians gives some of the great teaching for us about end time events. And so the church at Thessalonica had some great things that were written to it. Well, this church, it started on Paul's second missionary journey. The Apostle Paul, he took three missionary journeys, and on the second missionary journey, he finally was able to go into Asia. He had wanted to go that direction before, and God kept saying no, God kept saying no. And all of a sudden, on the second missionary journey, God opened a door for him to go. And so as he went on this journey, he went through a town called Philippi. And in Philippi, he was beaten. He was thrown into prison. And while there was an earthquake, and God set him free. So he leaves Philippi basically just to stay alive. And as he leaves Philippi, he comes to this town of 200,000 people, Thessalonica. It was located on the seacoast. It was an important city for travel. And it was an important city for trade. And those two things together made it the ideal place to plant a church so the gospel could go both through the travel as the seaport and through the trade at the seaport. So you had many visitors coming to this pretty large sized city in Thessalonica. Now, Thessalonica was named so after Alexander the Great's sister. It had other names before that, and it was named after his sister. So Thessalonica was made up mostly, the biggest population group were Greeks. Then the second most populous group there was the Roman. So you had your Greeks who lived there for a long time, and then the Romans came and conquered, so you had a lot of Romans that lived there. And then you had some Jews. It was a good number, but it was definitely a small minority. So religiously in the town of Thessalonica, you had pagan temples, rich, luxurious, and completely vile in their ways. And then you had a big Jewish synagogue. And in this Jewish synagogue, they actually hated the cause of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul, before he became a Christian, would have fit in well with this synagogue in Thessalonica. So as Paul travels into Thessalonica from Philippi, after he'd been beaten and imprisoned, he goes into town and he goes into the synagogue, and Paul had two reputations. First, he had a reputation as Christian killer. And all the Jews in Thessalonica would have loved that about him. And then he had his conversion. And now he was Christ follower. And so as he enters Thessalonica, people want to hear him because they want to hear the change in his message. Also, you have a whole bunch of pagan people who are very interested in this guy because he used to preach for the Jew. and get all excited and get the Jews all excited about fighting the cause of the Christian. Now he is a Christian. And his goal is not to go out and reach the Jew, although he does a lot of that. His goal is to reach the Gentile world. And so the pagans, they're sitting there going, all the Greeks and the Romans, they're going, yeah, we want to hear this guy because we want to know this message that is for us as well. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. Now, why isn't he still with them? Well, he was staying in a guy named Justus' home, and while he was staying in the home, the Jews and the pagans together rushed the house because they wanted to arrest Paul and kill him. And so he escaped. And after his escape, he had only been there for a short time. After his escape, he sends them this letter because he really wished he could have done more with them and done more for them. So let's read here in chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brother and beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were, we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we don't need to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This is a game-changing church. They not only changed the city they lived in, Thessalonica, they reached out into two large surrounding areas, Achaia and Macedonia. And as they did, they set an example for us. I want to be a game changer, don't you? And I hope that God will use our church to change the areas around us. You know, this is why we're doing this outreach with Galilee Baptist Church. Because we live in a world that is very racially divided. You can't hardly turn on the news without seeing some sort of rhetoric or some sort of action that is pushing us to be divided. And so you know what's really great? In Jesus Christ, we're unified. When Paul went into Thessalonica, he had a big task in front of him. First, he had to find a way to get the Jew to get along with the Roman. That was hard all of itself, because Jews that lived in a place like Thessalonica, which was a formerly Greek territory, they had been displaced from Jerusalem. And they were people that really didn't want to be there. They had been forced there because of Rome's persecution. So he had to get the Jew and the Roman to get along, but then also the most populous group, the Gentile, the Greek. Now the Greek, they were even harder because the Greek, they were very leftist in their ideals. Their morality was way different than the Jews' morality. And so somehow, when they all came to Christ, Paul had to find a way to get them all together. So as you read through the book of Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Look for words like unity. Look for words like fellowship. Because in Christ, they were able to come together. So the first thing that we see from this church is they changed. In verse 6, they became followers of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And you say, well, that's not good. They shouldn't have been followers of Paul and his company. They should have been followers of Christ. Well, how do people become followers of Christ? First, they hear it from us. That's a scary thought, right? You see, the Christ that they follow is first seen through who we are. When we paint a bad representation of Christ, we hinder people from following Christ. First, they became followers of Paul and his traveling company. Now, the good thing about that is Paul and his company had one agenda: follow Jesus Christ. And so I look at that and I go, you know, we have an awesome opportunity in front of us. As we follow Christ, we should desire others to follow our following of Christ. We can actually impact the world, not by having people follow us, but having them follow us as we follow Christ. Because the only Christ they will know is the Christ that we show to them. We can teach them Jesus from Scripture. But the first Jesus they meet is the one we display. And so they became followers of Paul and his company. And then in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, you don't need to turn there. This is what Thessalonica is most famous for, this verse right here. It says, these that were in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And so oftentimes people talk bad about the church of Thessalonica, saying, the Bereans, they searched the scripture, the Thessalonians, they did not. Okay? Well, let me tell you something about Acts 17:11. It's telling us about before their conversion, the Jew who lived in Thessalonica searched the scripture. The Jew who lived in Berea searched the scripture to say, hey, does this message fit what the Old Testament teaches? The Jew in Thessalonica that believed, they just received it. They didn't search it out. They just, yep, I believe. This isn't a commentary on the two churches. This is a commentary on the society. The society in Berea, they checked everything out. The society in Thessalonica, they just received it. I don't think that's really negative. Okay, it's always good to search things out with Scripture. As a church, it's what we should do. But in Acts 17:11, he's not condemning the church in Thessalonica. He's saying the people in Thessalonica just received the word. Where did they get the word? Paul and his example. Again, that goes to us. We have to be a great example. The second thing that we see where they changed in verse 6, they received the word in the middle of much affliction. And how did they receive it? With joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, two times in chapter 1, we will see that this church falls under the influence of the Holy Ghost. This first time, in their affliction, they receive the gospel with joy because of the Holy Ghost influence on them. Sadly, we don't like to talk about the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's because ghost is scary. Okay, I was trying to think of reasons why. Why would we not want to talk about the Holy Ghost? All right. Maybe because of the three persons of God, he is the most mysterious, hardest to explain, most difficult to describe. Here's what I know about the church at Thessalonica. His influence was not pushed away. His influence was received with joy. And then this church, look at verse 9, they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. That's a huge, huge thing right there. See, when you have an idol, especially in those societies, in those religious beliefs of that time, those idols were your security both for your eternity and for your present. They believed that their idols brought them the luck that they had, brought them the fortune that they received. And here's what they did. They turned from all of that and said, we will get rid of the tangible thing we can go touch, we can make a physical sacrifice to, and that we can pray to and look at in the eye, even if it was made of stone. We will leave those idols and turn to the true and living God. So here's what separates an idol from the God that we worship. First of all, he's true. How is he true? He cannot be held to a physical description or a physical likeness. You cannot make an image of God. He's beyond that. They left their idol, something they could look at, touch, feel. An object of stone, a statue. And they turned to the living. See, our God is not made with hands. He's not built from flesh and blood. God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Nobody has seen God at any time except for Jesus, who is with God and is God. But all of us, we have to have faith, not in an object that we see, but in a being who is alive. And since he's alive, his work will be alive in and through us. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and they said, I heard God, and they stopped and said, I didn't hear an audible voice, but God was speaking to me. Has anybody ever had that? Our God is living. He's true, and he's living. And in Thessalonica, they believed in that God, and they turned. They changed. Secondly, they were examples. In verse 3, it gives us some things that they were examples of. They were examples in faith. They went from just a completely different kind of faith, a faith that was built on works and pleasing an angry God and hoping that in the end he might say, you did good enough, you can go to heaven, to now believing in the one true God where he says, trust me, I did all the work for you. So it was a radical difference in faith. They also were examples in a labor of love. How do we labor for God? Okay, I'll tell you, VBS week is a labor of love. There is a lot of labor. There's a lot of love. And by the way, if we don't labor with love, 2 weeks ago, the message was about Mary and Martha. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Martha served. I think Martha got busy laboring without love. When we labor, let's labor with love. And then they had patience of hope. Patience of hope. We want things from God now. And sometimes when we pray, we say, God, you already know that I needed this. Why haven't I gotten it already? Right? But they had patience. Patience of hope. They hoped in Jesus Christ as much as anybody else, but they were patient in that hope. They're willing to wait for his timing. There were examples to other believers in the region and the adjoining region. In verse 7, it tells us about these people in Macedonia and Achaia. So go ahead and put that map up there. All right, so I don't know if you can see it very well. Thessalonica is up near the left, the top left corner. There's Thessalonica. And then there's Macedonia is the region that Thessalonica and Berea were in. And then Achaia is down a little bit south from there. So here's the influence that this church had in an area of about, it was 200,000 people, is a lot of people in a city, especially during those times. But they didn't just impact their city. They impacted every region that was adjacent to them, connected to them. That's huge. When Jesus told the disciples, he said, "You will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem," that would have been their Thessalonica, "then Judea," that would have been their Macedonia, "and Samaria," that would have been their Achaia. This church was living out the Great Commission. They were living out God's desire through their natural being. And then it says that Paul's like, "I don't even have to go preach in those places because your testimony of your word has already gone out into those places and they have the truth." That's awesome. I mean, wouldn't it be great if no evangelist needed to come to Kalamazoo because 12th Street, we were preaching the gospel and everybody knew it? How incredible would that be? That's what this church was up to. In verse 8, they had spread the word in all the surrounding areas. Thirdly, let's close out with this message here. They had good theology. In verse 4, they knew that God chose them. They knew that they were elect. As a believer, here's just an awesome truth. I know God has chosen me. I didn't choose him. There's not a single person in this room that you've chosen God. He chose you first. You say, what about the people who don't believe? Go back and listen to last Sunday's message, okay? And you'll get that. You know what? God chose them for salvation as well. They rejected his choosing. But if you're saved, you know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in him, it's because he chose you. And this church had really good theology because they understood that. They knew that they did not choose him. And anybody, if you're here today and you think, well, no, I chose God, you're wrong. Your theology is all backward and messed up. He chose you. The second thing is that they knew that God chose them, but they also knew the gospel in verse 5. The gospel came in power. For a lot of us, the gospel only comes in word. And for a lot of us, the gospel only shows to other people in word. But the gospel came to them in power. And the gospel worked through them in power in other places. We have to quit talking Jesus and start living Jesus. We have to stop this whole thing where we pretend church and we live Christ. The gospel came with power. What does that mean? It changed them. It blew up, literally, the Greek word used there, dunamis, dynamite. It blew up their old life. And it assembled a stronger and greater life in Christ. The gospel came to them through the Holy Ghost. Second time we see in chapter 1, the Holy Ghost is a vital part of everything that's taking place in Thessalonica because they knew him and they wanted his power. And it came with assurance. Again, it didn't just come in word. See, there are some people that talk about the gospel. Yeah, I believe Jesus died for me. Yeah, I believe, you know, that he can get me to heaven. But there's no assurance in that. You know, the surest way to show that you believe the gospel is that you live the gospel. That it flows from your being. That you walk with God. That the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is an essential part of your life. Because in Galatians 5, it tells us, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we will produce the fruit of the Spirit. And this church in Thessalonica, they had assurance in the gospel. That's awesome. What assurance do you have in the gospel? All right, they had good theology. They were waiting for the coming of the resurrected Jesus. Verse 10. They are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. All the eschatological statements in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, they derive their meaning from what we're told right here in verse 10. They were looking, they were waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Do we, first of all, believe in a resurrected, bodily resurrected Jesus? I hope you do. He didn't just come back to life spiritually, he came back to life physically, and he will return again to this earth physically. That's what they were waiting for. And then in verse 10, it also tells us they knew that they were delivered from God's wrath. All right, this will set your eschatology straight. I don't care what you are. Pre, mid, post, Here's the truth. The truth is, you that are saved are not going to see God's wrath. Period. God's wrath is not set for you. The church in Thessalonica, they understood that. And now, wait a minute. They were going through some hard times. Paul had to leave at night, running away because they tried to kill him because he was preaching Christ. It doesn't mean that they didn't believe in suffering for their faith. They just knew that God's wrath would never be on them. Let's never mistake the world's persecution and the sufferings we face because of the world as God's wrath. No, that's the world being the world. But we know that we are delivered from God's wrath. Let me make two statements as we close. We are a game-changing church. We have people this morning going all over the world, all over the country. We just finished a week where we reached our city and preached the gospel to children and 25 young souls. All right, my niece from North Carolina, they were up visiting, and my niece from North Carolina, she made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, we didn't just reach Kalamazoo there. We're reaching down into to Durham, North Carolina. How awesome is that? We have an opportunity in a few weeks. We're going to do a combined outreach where we can make a powerful political statement about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons, that he loves red, yellow, black, and white, green, purple, yellow, or blue, or whatever color, every hue, that's what I was looking for, because in Jesus Christ, we are one. That's a game-changing idea. In a world that's fallen apart, that's crippled by its vision of color, that Jesus Christ can bring us together under his power and through his Holy Ghost. And so the key to our success, as we desire to be a game-changing church, it will be seen in our faith, our labor, and our patience. Let's be a church of faith. Let's work hard for our Lord. And let's be patient as he accomplishes his work. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much that your word is, it's so powerful. Lord, this morning we just scratched the surface of what's in this first chapter. And Lord, if we could just get a glimpse of you the way that the church at Thessalonica did, that we would be followers of God who understood the power of the gospel. And Lord, that we would live like you might be returning at any time, because we're looking and we're waiting and we're hoping for that wonderful return. I pray, God, that we would be in anticipation of your return so that we reach the world around us. God, make us effective. And I pray for anybody that's here this morning that doesn't know the power of the gospel in their life. I pray that this morning they would just submit to you. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you are calling out to me in salvation. You heard his word this morning and he wants you to be saved. That this morning that anyone here who's never trusted you, they would just give their heart and life to you. And Lord, I pray for the Christian this morning. I pray that we would be game changers. Help us, God, to have a vision that sees beyond our own little world and our own little wants. I pray that we would live the truth of Jesus Christ because we serve a living and true God. So as we close out this service, may your will be done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing the song in closing. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about it. And if you have, then let's sing this out because we know that our Lord rights our wrongs. He is the God who has overcome and for us.
Ashamed of what I've done, what I become, these hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One.
You plead my cause.
You gave your life to give me my
Lord, we just thank you for having a great plan. That, Lord, you know what we need every day in life. Lord, we know that we need your power because without it, without the power of the gospel alive and at work, we're a people that are going to struggle. So God, as we spent this time here together today, I pray that this will just energize us, infuse us with what we need to attack the next week with a passion that is unparalleled because we serve a God who is greater than all. So to you, Lord, be all the honor and glory and power and dominion, for you have created all things, and by your power, we exist, we live, we move, we have our being. Because of you, Lord, we can have the fullest that this life has to offer. So may your blessings be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. Committee to meet with Galley. We will meet back here in the auditorium at 1 p.m. The Lord bless you.